Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
This incense of our prayers being wrapped by the person of Jesus to make it sweet really makes me understand where sometimes you don't know what to pray, but it says in Romans that by your groans, the Holy Spirit through your groans and utterance will make known what that means to the Lord, you know. And so you might not pray the perfect prayer to the Lord, but the Lord will take that. He knows what your heart is, and he also knows that even though your heart is saying this, God's will might be something different. And so he is wrapping in such a way, his desire is he wants to take care of his family. I know he's praying specifically for this job, and Lord, your will is that he isn't going to get that job, but his heart is that he wants to have a job to provide for his family. And so as you're praying specifically, Lord, let me get me that job because it pays me $50,000 more than I'm making now, and oh God, and you're just kind of praying in that mindset, you know? The Lord can probably wrap that and kind of say his desire is that he wants to provide for his family. He wants to be able to provide a vacation this year for his family. And so he really wants that money for this. And he might even want it for carnal reasons, but here's his desire. He wants to provide for his family. And God, you know, and when you start to think of prayers like that, it's kind of like, oh, I'm so glad, you know, because there's some prayers I'm sure you've prayed that are probably 100% carnal in nature. And so as you pray that against that person, Lord, what they're doing is wrong. And so I pray that wrong will be made known, it will fall upon his own head, and that he will be just decimated. But by the time it reaches heaven, maybe the Lord has wrapped it up to say, you know what, Dave really is struggling with evil in the world. Help him have a greater understanding. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that God is changing every single one of your prayers or whatever, but I'm just kind of wondering, how is that prayer sweet to the Lord? But when you realize he is your intercessor, he's really bringing out what really is the deal. Yeah, I have a hard time with evil in the world. I don't like it. You know, and much like David, you know, pray that warrior's prayer. Lord, decimate my enemies, kill them, break their jaws, you know, and Dave really struggles with evil and allowing you to have your will in his life, you know, and so I'm just kind of wondering if maybe that's a way that God is wrapping that prayer, you know, because it's supposed to be sweet to him. Philip Graham Ryken, in his commentary on Exodus, would say this about the experience of the priests in the tabernacle. He says this: if there was one smell the Israel's priests could not forget, it was the smell of the burning incense. Their service in the tabernacle was a complete sensory experience. There were things to touch, like the fine linen fabric, cool water at the laver, hairy skins of sacrificial animals. There were beautiful things to see, bright lights, golden furniture, colorful curtains. There were good things to taste, fresh bread there on the table of showbread, fine wine, juicy meat that was being offered there on the brazen altar. There were pleasant things to hear, such as bells on the high priest's robe. But there are also some things the priest could smell. Outside in the courtyard, they sniffed the savory aroma of burning sacrifices. But inside the holy place, they smelled something more fragrant. It was the pungent scent of sweet incense rising from the golden altar. Now, I've kind of wondered if some of that sweet aroma of that incense would somehow permeate outside of the tabernacle. I would imagine it would. I mean, I understand as we went over the tabernacle that there were four, coverings over the tabernacle, you know, to keep it in. But there is the veil before you go into the tabernacle. And so as they're going in and out of that, it might waft out. It might waft out underneath and things like that. And you might be able to get a wonderful whiff of that aroma sometime if you're walking around there in the outer court, or maybe even going beyond that. I don't know how pungent it is. But for the priests, they would definitely remember this smell all the time. And as they're going in and out in the morning and the evening, this would be a smell that would be continually on their mind. Regardless of how this works, when you go into the tabernacle, it should be an amazing sensory experience. Understand, when you go in, it's the gold plates, you know, of the structure itself, and then that's covered on the outside by those four coverings, but on the inside, it's gold until you have the veil there before the two compartments. Beautiful veil that have the cherubim on and the different colors. And then you also have the golden lampstand there, you know. And so now it's shining and gives light. And then you have the table of showbread. You have the golden altar of incense. And so the light flickering and dazzling and with all the gold around. I mean, and then the smell of that aroma from the golden altar of incense. I mean, all your sensory, all your perceptions of what you see and smell and see and yet touch as well, because these priests will be touching the lampstand in order to, you know, trim the wicks and be touching the golden altar of incense, as well as touching the table of showbread as they're replacing the bread and seeing what they're seeing. It would be a sensory experience, that's for sure. And I believe that that's a little glimpse of heaven, little. When you read about the New Jerusalem and what it's going to look like, being in the throne room of God, all those kind of things. Behold, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for your room, your house, what that's going to look like. Your senses can barely probably take in that experience inside the tabernacle. Times that by 1,000 or more of what your senses are going to experience in heaven is mind-blowing. Streets are made of gold. You know, his throne room, and yet going up to the throne room is like sapphire, lapis lazuli, that bluish, and yet it's transparent. And wow, just the different colors of everything. You get a small little glimmer of that inside the tabernacle here. And in verse 7 of Exodus 30, it says, "And Aaron shall burn on it a sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it." So every morning when he goes and tends the lamps, guess what? He's also going to be burning incense on the golden altar. And guess what? He's going to do it evening as well. In verse 8, "And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it and a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it." So again, Aaron's going to do that at night. And you can only put on there the right incense, and it has to be coals that are from the brazen altar, okay? Go to Leviticus chapter 10. Now, the whole book of Leviticus covers a 30-day period. Here in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass on the eighth day." So chapters 1 through 8 is telling us about the offerings. Chapter 8 tells us about the consecration of the priests that also coincides with what we went over in Exodus chapter 28 and 29, okay? The consecration of the priests led us to chapter 8 of Leviticus, to which then led us to go over all the Levitical offerings in chapters 1 through 7, okay? So here at the end of chapter 8, they have consecrated the priests. The tabernacle has already been set up. They consecrate the priests to begin their priestly ministry, okay? So the moment they set up the tabernacle, they consecrate the priests, and then it's after 7 days, verse 33 of chapter 8, it says, "You shall not go outside the door of the tabernacle meeting for 7 days until the days of your consecration are ended." So the consecrating the priest took 7 days. They are now consecrated. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, on the eighth day, so it's the next day. This is the day that they're going to start now doing the daily sacrifices and everything that needs to be done. But before they do that, they have this ceremony that takes place, okay? And then it says in verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting, came out, blessed the people. The glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out before the Lord, consumed the burnt offering, the fat on the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. This is on the eighth day, okay? The book of Leviticus is only 30 days, okay? So when we go to this next chapter, chapter 10, when this happens, you're talking only 1, 2, maybe 3 days, 4 days at the most, just a few days from chapter 9, that these knuckleheads do this? This isn't years later where you just got tired of the same old thing and you just wanted to cut quarters and get home early, and so you're not going to bring the proper, you know, proper coals or whatever fire to place there on that altar. This is just a matter of days, or it could be the next day. And look what happens here. Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded. So fire went out from the Lord, devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Idiots. What are you thinking? The word strange here is a Hebrew word, zar. It means profane, illicit, unauthorized. The word fire is ash. It means fire, but it means fuel is what it means. Fuel that is burning or live coal as a fire starter is what it means. So strange fire means a fire starter. The coal was strange. You've never carried fire in your life. Fire is what comes from what it's burning. You carry what it's burning. You can't carry fire. You can only carry what fire is burning, the fuel. That would be coals. That's the only thing that you could bring in here. And the coals, that is what was strange. That was what is unauthorized here. Unauthorized, I'll get it. Unauthorized here. Which means these coals were not taken from the proper place. They were not taken from the brazen altar. These are the coals in their censers. And they were not burned on the fire, taken from the brazen altar that speaks of the sin sacrifice. This was of their own kindling. They got the coals from some other source. So here you have Beavis and Butthead offering coals from some other source that has not been authorized. And they're messing up the type, the picture that God wants to display here. They have departed from the type here of Jesus being the sin sacrifice in which all prayers rest, because they're not taking it from the brazen altar. By their actions, Nadab and Abihu showed that their prayers and worship being offered to God can be offered on another foundation other than Jesus' sin sacrifice. And because of that, God killed them. So here's a good question. When we offer our sacrifice of praise and prayer to the Lord, what is it based on? I'm here to tell you it's not based on what the Lord has done through his son Jesus. Those prayers aren't reaching heaven. It's not as though God doesn't know everything that anybody's ever said. He does. But it doesn't reach him in the point of what we have in the way of intimacy and dialogue and having this encounter with God. In Hebrews 4:14, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus lived the human condition. The difference between you and myself and him, he was always victorious. He never succumbed to sin. And because of that, he was the perfect sacrifice. And he sacrificed himself as the high priest. Didn't need a sin offering. He became his own sin offering because he was perfect. And because of that, and because my prayers are based on what he has done, we are told, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." we can go boldly into the throne room of God. That is why we see Isaiah, who had intrepidation at first, all of a sudden go boldly to him, send me. Hey, how long is this going to be? And has the confidence of this dialogue with God, because it's based on his sin has been taken care of with the sin offering of the person of Jesus. In 1 Peter 2, we read, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You're part of the priesthood of believers. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. How? Through Jesus Christ. It's based upon the sin offering of Jesus. I've received that, and so now my prayers, guess what? They're accepted by God. Christ is the one who makes our worship acceptable to God. Going over here to Exodus 30, verse 10, it says, and Aaron shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once a year he shall make atonement upon it through your generation. It is most holy to the Lord. That speaks of the Day of Atonement. You can read about that in Leviticus 16. But now I want you to go down to verse 34. What was this incense? What was this incense? Go to Exodus 30, verse 34. And the Lord said to Moses, take sweet spices, stacte, ancha, galbanum, and pure frankincense with these sweet spices. They were sweet. Equal amounts of each. They were sweet spices, so they must give off a sweet scent, which tells me that when we pray, that's sweet to the Lord. It's sweet to him when we meet with him and communicate with him. You shall make of these an incense, a compound according to the art of the perfumer, salted, pure, holy. And you shall beat some of it very fine and put some of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting where I will meet with you. It shall be most holy to you. The aroma is sweet because it's sweet to the Lord when we meet with him. This is the place we will meet with him, and we meet with him in prayer. Verse 37, but as for the incense you shall not make any for yourselves. According to its composition, it shall be to you holy for the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to smell it, he shall be cut off from his people. In other words, this incense speaks of the type of fellowship we are to have with God and no other. We are to pray and worship to God and no other. This incense is not made for others. It's only made for God. Those of you that have a Catholic background, those of you who might hear this on the radio, we are not to pray to Mary. This incense is only for God. Prayer to God and God only. Jesus is our high priest. We go through him. He is our conduit. We go directly through Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus is my conduit. Very important. Understand what is being said here. You don't make this incense for anyone else. The incense represents the prayers of the saints. You don't pray to saints. You know why? Because you are a saint. Anyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a saint. And in Revelation, we shall hear the prayers of the saints. That's people. That's us. This is very important because if you receive Jesus, then your prayers go directly to God. When Jesus died, the veil was torn too. It was gone. And it gives you clearance now to go beyond the veil into the presence of the Father. We can ask forgiveness. We can ask to advance the kingdom of God. We can ask for strength, to be long-suffering. We can ask for to be changed, to be conformed to the image of his Son. We can ask for anything, and we get to go to directly to the creator of the universe through the person of Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder how this is looked at as this amazing privilege we have to we can have an encounter with the living God each and every day and throughout the day. Which is why Paul says to pray without ceasing. Which is why Paul would say in Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer. Paul would say it again in Colossians 4:2, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Do you have any idea how thankful we should be that we can have an encounter with the living God? Do you realize how thankful, how grateful we should be that we can go to the source that changes everything and anything? And he desires it. And he calls it sweet when my people meet with me. This atmosphere of prayer is very special only for God's people. The question is, do you treat it special? Or do you treat it as an afterthought? So you don't pray very often. And it's these little popcorn prayers. Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, thank you for getting me through that. I almost drifted in the other road or whatever it might be. And that was your prayer for the day. You have an opportunity. God is saying, I want to have an encounter with you as well. But you get to have an encounter with me. That's why we continue earnestly in prayer with thanksgiving. We should have a grateful heart for it. I love this story here of Clovis Chapman, a pioneer aviator, was one of the first men to attempt a solo flight around the world. During his journey, after a brief stop in Fremont, California, he heard the sound of gnawing directly behind him. Listening carefully, Clovis realized there was a rat in the cockpit, chewing on a cable. Knowing he couldn't leave the controls to catch the rat, he thought, my cables are going to be destroyed, and then it will be all over. But then he had an idea. Pulling the throttle back, the plane rose to 5,000 feet, then 10,000 feet, then 12,000 feet, and he remained there. Clovis listened, then heard nothing. Because Clovis remembered that rodents need a high proportion of oxygen, and he took his plane where oxygen was thin, and the rat died. Are you saying, ah, because the rat died? Or are you saying, that's not a tragedy. That's a good thing. That the rat died. He now has control of the plane. He lives. My whole thought here, which is really good, even though we've been sidelined a bit, but when you go into prayer with the Lord, you now go to an atmosphere where the enemy dies. Amen. The enemy cannot survive in the place of your communication with God. Don't you know when things are terrible and things are going bad and everything else, if you just cut aside some time and you just remain before the Lord and you pray and you read his word and let him speak to you and you continue to cry out to him. Cry out to me and I will answer you, show you great mighty things that you do not know. We're told in Jeremiah 33:3. This is God saying, use this wonderful opportunity that you have to have an encounter with the living God. And as we're communicating, guess what? The enemy can't be there. You will kill the enemy there. And you have this amazing tool, this opportunity each and every day throughout the day. And I would say the majority of us aren't using it. And we look at prayer as a chore of a have to. And this is where your heart is evil and wicked. And that's one of the reasons you need to go to God. Because it's a get to. It's not a have to. And this is where God changes you and gives you understanding and gives you strength to be the person that God wants you to be, which is really the best thing for you.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.